Oh, we've been working on a series here for this summer, and we're like maybe halfway through. Next week will be the halfway point, I believe. And what we've been doing is basically going through some discipleship tools or discipleship things that you can do to put yourself in a position where you can become more and more like Jesus Christ. And last week we had this chart, and there was not a big crowd here last week, so I kind of know that most of you did not hear that message, unless you heard it online, which is okay too. And what we did last week was just kind of make a list of regrets and a list of things that we have encountered difficulty in the past, and probably those things that we have encountered in the past shape who we are and how we interact with people now. And it kind of like colors our decision making. It impacts how we interact with people. There are certain triggers that happen to us that make us react and respond in certain ways at certain things. And so what we want to do is, if those things are negative for you, let's put those down on paper so that we can understand that. We can know more about ourselves so we can process through those things. Today, though, we're taking another advancement in that process. And I'll start out by saying this. You fill in the blank. Confession is good for the... Okay. All right. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk today. We're all done. This is it for the day. No. We're talking about confession today. Why we should do it, and maybe to whom we should confess. And again, last week, perhaps you made a list. If you have not heard last week's message, we would be happy for you to... It's online. It's on our YouTube channel. You can go see that there. And then you'll understand maybe a little more context to this. But you don't need to have last week in order to understand this week's. There is biblical reason for confession. If we go back to all the way at the beginning, Adam and Eve, and we've been using Adam and Eve at length for this series because they have so much to teach us. So we'll find some more valuable lessons with Adam and Eve today. Eve, we know this story probably pretty well if you were raised in the church at all, or even like it's kind of a cultural thing, the Adam and Eve story. Eve gave in to her temptation, and then Adam was given the opportunity to also give in to his temptation as well, and he more than obliges. He goes right for it. As soon as he has the opportunity to do so, he goes right in. And then suddenly, as soon as that happens, they knew what they had done, right? They knew it. They knew the difference between good and evil, which is what that fruit of that tree was all about. That fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That's what it was called. So that suddenly they didn't know sin before. They didn't understand that, but in that narrative. And then now suddenly they do, and suddenly they had shame. They had shame for doing the thing that they were specifically not told to, or specifically told not to do. And this is the first time that we see shame in the human experience, right? Suddenly now humans can experience shame. And they couldn't cover up their sin, so instead they covered themselves, right? The scripture records they sewed together fig leaves so that they could have loincloths and cover themselves. But what happens next is pretty interesting. They apparently had some sort of habit where they would walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. It said God dwelt among them, and they would walk in the cool of the day. And this was when their shame became too much for them, so they hid, right? They hid in the garden because they were afraid. And so now we have shame and we have fear. The first time humans have experienced fear. Now, oftentimes we try to cover our shame. So we cover our shame and we hide because of fear. Actually, these days we do it in the opposite order. We try to hide it first, and then out of fear, we hide it, and then we try to cover up our shame. Isn't that what happens in our process of sinning? How many times over and over and over in the media we see some famous person get pinched? We know you did it, but then they try to cover it up, right? They cover that up out of shame. They were trying to hide it first out of fear, and then there's the cover-up, right? Which is worse, the actual sin or the cover-up? Oftentimes the cover-up, right? We had a conversation with a couple last night. The son was supposed to have come back in by 11, and there it was on the blink camera as 1 a.m. And he said, I came in at 11. Like, we got evidence, bro. I thought it was 11. Like, so which is worse? Like, if you just fessed up, it wouldn't be great. But the cover up is often worse than the actual original sin. So God gives Adam the opportunity to confess. Three times God asks the couple, Adam and Eve, questions, giving them an opportunity to confess. Here's the first one, Genesis 3:9. But the Lord God called out to the man. God called the man out. That is another way. He called him out. He said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Okay, here's the second one. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" He's like, I know that you're naked, right? And so now that I know that you ate something you shouldn't have eaten, the thing I told you not to eat, right? Here's the third one, Genesis 3:13. Then God said to the woman, this time to Eve specifically, "What is this that you have done?" Now, do you think that God didn't know the answer to these questions? God's like, "Huh, where are they? Where's Waldo?" You know, like, can't find him. I'm not sure where Adam is. When God asked Eve, Adam had already told them what they had done. Did God just not hear him, or did God not believe him? Did God not know what was happening here? God gave Adam and Eve the choice to freely disclose what they had done. This was an opportunity for Adam and Eve to come clean to God themselves on their own terms, so God didn't have to call them out. He didn't have to pull up the blink camera. "I got you right here. I saw you. I know what you did." But I think confession for Adam was more important for Adam to hear Adam say it than for God to hear Adam say it. Confession's more important for Adam to hear Adam say it than God to hear Adam say it. And I think in confession, though, we can take another lesson here, because we can do what Adam did. We can blame people, because that's what Adam did. Look what he did. Verse 3:12. The man said, Adam said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." So he confesses, but he points a finger at somebody else. It's the woman's fault. He shifted the blame immediately, and he blamed God. So now we have shame, we have fear, and we have blame. First time in recorded human history, he shifted this blame immediately. "She gave me the fruit. She's the one who you should blame. And oh, by the way, she is the woman that you gave to me. I didn't even ask for her to be here. So if it's anybody's fault, it's yours." You see how we shift the blame to somebody else? Has anybody here ever blamed God for your personal situation? Yeah, we do that. Even today, we still do it. "Clearly, God lined everything up to this point and forced me into this situation. Yeah, I did the thing, but it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault." Confession might be good for the soul, but the blame game is good for nobody. It hurts everyone. So how does God respond to this whole conversation here? Now, there are some consequences. You can read about them in Genesis chapter 3. Things about getting kicked out of the garden, men being forced to toil and work, and women having trouble in childbearing, and all those things. But God ends up being the one to cover their sin. They tried to cover their shame, but God ends up being the one to cover it up, quite literally, with the spilt blood of the lamb that God provided for them. Isn't that an echo of what would happen later? As Christians, we believe Jesus is that lamb. Jesus covers our exposed sin. Ultimately, their relationship with God is mostly restored, but there's a new reality for them walking forward, the reality we live in. God wants us to confess our sins to him. Our relationship with God suffers until we confess our sins to God. And it might even seem silly to confess our sins to God because, as we just saw, God can see everything. He knows already what Adam and Eve did, but yet he wanted confession from them. So if God can see it, why should I even say it? Right? God sees it. Why should I say it out loud? Why do I need to confess? I think it's because of this story that we just read. It's this story right here. God wants you to hear you say it. God wants you to come clean, to freely admit your sins and your wrongs. God wants your relationship with God to be restored and made whole. But why is verbal confession necessary? Why do we have to say it out loud? Why can't we just think it? He hears my thoughts, right? I can pray silently and God can hear that. We confess them so that we can hear them. Speaking is more powerful than thinking. God didn't think the world into existence. God spoke it into existence. So too, our words have power. When we confess our sins, we break down barriers that block our soul. We let go of the toxins that poison our spirit. And most importantly, we engage God in our cleansing process. And it's only God who can cleanse us anyway. Only God who can truly purify our souls. The scripture has references all throughout about confession of sin. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Confess it. Say it out loud. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I do not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. We're going to come back to that one. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession of our sins to God restores our relationship with God. That's point number one, really. Point number one, God, our relationship with God is restored when we confess our sins to God. But confession does something else. It doesn't just restore our relationship with God, it rejuvenates our relationship with ourselves. Listen to David's lament. I just read the primary portion of Psalm 32. But let me read a little bit more of it. This psalm was written sometime shortly after David was pointed out, King David was pointed out sin that he had committed. The prophet Nathanael had to come to him and point it out for him, and then suddenly he was racked with guilt. And you think you have done bad things in your life, but this man called, the man after God's own heart, slept with a married woman who was not his wife, and then had her husband killed. Have you ever done that? Okay. All right, you're not as bad as him. So here's what he did. When he feels guilty of it, he pens these words. For when I kept silent, I'm sorry, this is Psalm 32, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Can you hear the agony in his soul? Can you hear the pain in his body, his bones wasting away as if it was in the dry of the summer heat, groaning, and his strength was just gone? Have you ever worked out in the hot sun and you just feel drained? He's doing that without having done the work. Probably not eating, probably not sleeping. He just feels this enormous guilt for what had happened. He's in deep mourning for what he had done. But then a change happens. This is verse 5. I acknowledge my sins to you, and I do not cover my iniquity. Adam and Eve tried to cover it. They covered themselves. He said, I don't cover it. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David rightly knows that confession is the doorway to freedom and forgiveness. This is the weekend we talk about freedom. Right? Well, there's a different kind of freedom than what we can have nationally. You can have it personally. You don't need to walk around with the shackles and weight of guilt of sin that you've committed in the past. Instead, you can walk through that doorway of freedom and forgiveness. Now, for David, who was a Hebrew, a Jewish person, his religion, Judaism, does not hold that confession needs to be done in public or even in private to an individual, but rather confession of our sins is only in the presence of one being, the presence of God. We say it out loud to God. That was his understanding of confession. Now, I think his confession, though, it doesn't really say it, but because of his releasing that and confessing it to God, he was restored physically. Like, it came back to him. Now, it doesn't say that there, but we know he lived a long, vibrant life after this point. So we know his bones were no longer wasting away. His strength wasn't sapped by the heat anymore. He was restored himself. His body was restored through confession and forgiveness. His relationship with God was restored. His relationship with himself was restored. And then he offers this encouragement, Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer a prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the shouts of deliverance. And then he says, Selah, which just means think about it. Think about that. Rest in that. And he talks to the godly people. You're godly people. And yet he knows you sin. Confess it to the Lord. Confess it when God can be found and he can be your hiding place and deliver you as well. If you're racked with guilt from your sins, freely confess it to God. Accept responsibility for it. Even the blame. Like, yeah, that was me. I still made that choice. All the circumstances lined up, but yeah, I still made the choice. And then move forward in your life. We talked a couple weeks ago. I had a little board up here, and I drew the circle of insanity on there. We would just go through sin and guilt, sin and guilt, sin and guilt, and we can have freedom from that and get off that cycle of insanity by confessing to God our sins. Confess and forgive. Repent and believe. Get off of the sin and guilt cycle. Now, here's the question. Can you be saved without confession? Do you have to do, in terms of your salvation and, like, eternity, do you need to do this? Because, man, I don't like confession. Like, it's terrible. I don't want to rip off those Band-Aids. I don't want to revisit those old wounds. I don't want to tell. It's embarrassing what I've done. I don't want to tell anybody that. So what if I just didn't say any of these things? Would I still be a Christian? Would Jesus still love me? I suppose the answer is yes. You don't need to confess with your mouth the all those sins. The only thing you need to confess with your mouth is that Jesus is Lord, and then you're good. But if that's where you want to stop with your faith, then that's it. You're probably going to stay on that hamster wheel of sin and guilt. There is actual transformation that can be found in this life. Our faith is not one to just be whatever happens when you die. Our faith is what happens here and now in this life, which is preparation for what happens when you die. Don't bother confessing your sins if you just want to get your ticket punched to heaven and it's fine, whatever. But I think there's a better way. By confessing your sins, you can actually have wholeness and live authentically in life. Confession is the way to go, because confession restores your relationship with God. It rejuvenates your relationship with yourself. And I think there's one more relationship that has helped with confession that you can live authentically with other people, because confession renews your relationship with others. James 5:16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins one to another. Ugh. Gotta tell people. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Man, I don't want to say it out loud to somebody else. I don't even want to hear me say it, let alone tell it to somebody else. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Too many times we confess our sins and brag to one another. Look what I did. You won't believe it when I was younger, what all I did. I've heard so many people give testimonies. It was like essentially bragging about how bad they were and not how good God is. You know, there's a darkness to every person's deliverance story, but the story should be about your deliverance. Let's talk about how good God is. Sometimes we confess and brag, or we confess sins and we gossip about others, right? Or we confess sins and then make ourselves feel better by saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as this other person. We put other people down so we can lift ourselves up. James says, don't do that. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. So that you can be healed. It's a specific Greek word, and inflection of this Greek word that's translated healed is only used two times in the entirety of Scripture. This one, and in 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Jesus, and with his stripes are we healed. The idea is that in painful places we're made whole. And it's difficult work to be healed. It really hurts to confess sin, especially to another person. But the reality is that's how we come to wholeness and healing, and that can be made manifest in your life because you've confessed it to God, to yourself, and to somebody else. We cannot find freedom in isolation on our own by ourselves. You cannot heal without the help of another person because we're created for community. And community is more than just having a potluck together and an occasional cup of coffee. But maybe you have that cup of coffee, but you're talking about real things while you're doing that. Community is entering into each other's lives deep and profoundly. You cannot find freedom in isolation. You can't heal on your own. And as much as you may want to resist this, the step of admitting your sins to God, to yourself, to somebody else, this step may be the thing that your soul needs. It might just be the one thing you need to do today. God said when at the top of the service, like, we're all coming in with something. I don't know what that thing is for you. I don't know what it is that you keep in the dark places of your life. I don't know what it is on the list that you might have written out last week. But every time that I've heard somebody confess to another person, every single time, 100% of the time, they say, I felt immediate relief. I just felt better. Why? Because they're not carrying it alone anymore. They have somebody else with them. They're no longer walking alone. You see, the more you hide in your life, the more alone you're going to feel. And the more alone you feel, the harder it is to walk in wholeness, authenticity, and healing. So I'm guessing you know your homework assignment for the week. We had a little homework last week. Make a list. And if you haven't done that list, do that list. Go back, listen to that sermon. Write out your list. But after you've done that, and if you feel like you're in a place where you want to do this, then you got to pray about it. Pray through your list and commit that list to God. Be brutally honest in those areas where you've been hurt. Brutally honest in those areas where you have hurt other people. And then ask forgiveness when it's appropriate. Not just, God, I did this, but God, will you forgive me? You might also want to read it out loud to yourself and hear it as a way of you acknowledging that to yourself. So here's what I suggest. I'm going to give you a couple of little hints. If you want to do this, if this is the thing that you feel like God's leading you to do, first pray. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. And then think about it. Is there a person in your life already that God has provided for you that you already trust? This is a big step, okay? So you're getting rid of some darkness in your life. You got to trust that person that you're giving that to, okay? And it might be that you want to go to a counselor, or maybe you want to come to a pastor. Let's be honest about something. Pastors, counselors, we're mandatory reporters, okay? So if you have something deep and something really dark, we have to say something, okay? But with that said, somebody you trust. Maybe find somebody totally anonymous, or go to another town, go to an AA meeting, or go someplace where you can tell somebody where it's anonymous. I think the internet can be your friend here. I would say this. This is a fifth hint. Be cautious with your spouse. They may not be the right person to dump everything on. Offloading your guilt to your spouse, or for your spouse to carry your guilt for you, it's not fair to them. I would urge you to really consider that. Find somebody that you confess to that will bear it with you and not for you. But then when you find that person, explain to them what you're doing and that you're not seeking counsel or advice. They're just there to listen. And again, maybe you can find somebody that's anonymous online for that. My recommendation is that you would find somebody who's a Christian, somebody who has the same values as you, maybe somebody in your small group or somebody that you serve with through church. And I want you to consider it. We want you to have space to do that, because confession restores your relationship with God, confession rejuvenates your relationship with yourself, and confession renews your relationships with others. Now, there's a website, maybe you've heard of it, called postsecrets.com, where you can, like, send a card to this website. There's an actual physical address for it. And they've been doing this for maybe 10 years. I was looking at it. Like, what they do is take these cards that people have confessed their sins on, and they've made giant artwork out of it. And so you can confess it that way. Just get it out there. Get it off your chest. You could send a card to Engage New York Church. Don't sign your name. Just send the card. You can sign your name if you want to. I'm just urging you to find a way to get off the hamster wheel, to get off of that cycle of sin and guilt, and move forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm happy to talk with you. I'm sure Reggie's happy to talk with you too. Confession is good for your soul. It restores your relationship with God. It rejuvenates your relationship with yourself, and it renews your relationships with others. Don't just have a list of sin and regrets. Don't stop there. Instead, unload it and then be done with your sins and your regrets. Forgive yourself and be restored and made whole. Let us pray. God, this is a frustrating and difficult topic. This is a step that we probably don't all want to take. It's relatively easy to acknowledge our sins and make a list of all the things we've done, but it's really hard to be honest with somebody else about them. And so, God, we trust ourselves into your care in that. Help us to find people that we trust. We ask you to provide them for us, to give us an experience of grace in humanity. May those acts of confession truly free us from ourselves and the pain that we've experienced and the pain we've caused to others. Lord, through this confession, may we also grow closer to you. May we experience the grace that you can provide for us. We pray all these things, and in these moments where we're going to sing a final song, we just ask, Lord, that you help us to take that next step. Maybe now is the time for confession. Maybe now is the time to just pray. Whatever it is you're doing in this room, we ask that you bless it and we honor it.